Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki and I'm sitting here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Let me just tell you. Let me just cut you off and start you again.
Boop.
And cut you off one more time.
Boop.
And we're done. We usually record these shows in Melbourne, Australia.
We do.
Jess, tell us.
Behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain. And what if I open this curtain in the hotel room we're sitting in, what can you see out there?
I can see hundreds of beautiful people enjoying some poolside fun.
Whoa.
And at Ozo Resort in Koh Samui.
Thailand.
We're in Thailand.
Stop perving on all those beautiful people out
there. I won't.
There.
Look at those big old sexy people.
Oh, wow. And there's one real uggo, but we will not say who.
But if you're listening,
that's the
it's
mirror
you.
Section.
Oh, hang on. I was looking myself in the face. And we will not say who I was looking at in the face in the mirror.
Okay.
Okay. That's confusing.
Oh, boy.
trying to save my own feelings a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we are in Koh Samui. We've been here for a couple of days.
Is that true?
We got here yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I count that as a day, but yeah, I see what you're saying. We've been here on a Monday and a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm arguing semantics.
It's late in the Tuesday, you know?
Yeah, I'll just cut off this terrible fight here. We've been together for less than 24 hours and we're already killing each other.
This time we have separate rooms too, so we can even escape each other, yet we don't because we love each other so much.
Absolutely. And we are on tour as part of the Koh Samui International Podcast Festival.
Yes.
With the crew from the Little Dum Dum Club and a bunch of other Australian comedians that they've flown to this resort. And the festival starts tonight when we're recording. And when you hear it, that was last night. And
if you listen on the day that the podcast comes
out. Let me just stop this terrible conversation. And let's get on with the show. This is it's real nice to be doing this podcast in the sunshine. Well, I mean in the shade near the sunshine.
Yeah, we're in an air-conditioned room.
There's about 10 metres and I can see sun hitting the grass.
But as soon as we finish, we have to go and do some business stuff. You know, it's not all play here. We've got some work to do and tonight is, of course, the opening night of the festival. We're having a big piss up. So what we need to do is get through this report so we can go and do business.
That's
drinks.
That's right. Business drinks.
That's right. And this show, if you haven't listened to it before, is a show where three good friends, obvious friends, get together and they take it in turns to research a topic and bring that
research back to the class and report it to the other two. The other two don't know what the topic is until we start. And we get onto that topic with a question. And this week I'm doing the report.
But can I ask a question?
Sure.
You said obvious friends.
Yeah, that was what someone said ages ago.
Very early on. Are we your best friends?
In this room.
Yes.
Best friends in this room?
Yes, yes.
Oh my God!
Water bottle, you're number four. That means tissue box number three.
God, stop pointing out how extravagant our hotel rooms are.
Yeah, we got a tissue box. Anyway, okay, you ask the question, get us onto the topic.
Here is my question. Which Australian bank robbers share their nickname with a movie title?
Oh, Australian bank robbers.
Ooh.
Armageddon.
Oh, Titanic.
Ooh. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Get him to robbers. The Greek.
Robbers.
Okay.
The Wog Boy 2.
Robbers.
Robbers of Mykonos.
That's pretty good. But no, none of these. Do you want me to tell you?
Is the film actually about the robbers or is it just a coincidence of a famous film?
I think, the media took the name of a film and dubbed them with it.
What can you give us a clue about the film?
It's about two stupid people.
Dumb and Dumber?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So it's the Dumb and Dumber Robbers or the Dumb and Dumber Bandits.
Ooh. Oh, I love a dumb robbery story.
Yeah, well, they are fantastic and apparently plentiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And this topic was suggested by, as far as I know, just one man named Gavin Fry.
Oh, good on you, Gavin Fry.
On your Fryzy.
It's always great when only one person has suggested it. I love that.
And then there's so many other people that then comment and go, how was there only one? You know? And you're like, well, because you didn't follow the submission form.
There can only be one. That's that's a quote from another movie, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, Back in the Habit.
Kings of Mykonos.
Secret of the Ooze.
Oh.
So, let us begin the report.
Is that another line?
Yeah, that's from another movie.
Oh.
You're dressed like lettuce in that you are wearing green.
Yeah, everyone knows lettuce wears green.
Look at that lettuce boy.
Start the report, lettuce boy.
On March the 21st, 2005, two men wearing ski masks and goggles, brandishing BB guns, entered the West Star Bank on Hanson Ranch Road in Vail, which is a wealthy ski resort town in Colorado and the USA.
Oh.
Stands for United States of America.
Ah.
I don't know why. It should be USOA. So,
yeah. A little O, they.
Yeah, a little O, they.
Oy vey.
The men yelled at the two bank tellers named Jessica Gunther Kim Vasquez.
Did they yell, Jessica Gunther? Put it in the bag. Vasquez, I forgot your first name. Also, help Jessica put it in the bag.
Something like that. Apparently swore a bit as well.
Oh, there's no need for that.
And they said, give us all your money.
Give us all your fucking money.
Yeah, well.
Really? You
know, I guess that's probably what they said.
Probably.
Potty mouth.
Yuck.
Putting a bad name out there internationally for Australians.
So they're Australian guys?
Yeah, but I haven't told you that yet.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, I did at the start.
Yeah.
In the question. One of the tellers was thrown to the floor.
Oh, dear.
And hurt, quite badly.
Yeah, you're thrown to the floor.
And the other was dragged to the vault to get the money. She was told to open it with a gun held against her head. So they were BB guns, but as far as I knew, they were real guns.
So they looked quite real.
Yeah.
Once in, she filled pillowcases with cash.
The pillowcases had their names written on the inside.
Are they BYO pillowcases or are they just in the vault?
Well, I'm assuming they must have. Why are there pillowcases at a bank?
Just in case.
Maybe they're having a slumber party.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do you think Jessica and Vasquez were about to have a party?
Yeah, were they wearing pajamas?
Yes, I think they were.
Do you reckon there's enough room that we could have a slumber party while we're here?
Yeah, look at the size of that bed.
Yeah. I'll curl up at the bottom like a little dog.
Sure. I reckon we can make that work, but we do each have a bed.
Ah.
Yeah, well, we're here for a few nights. One night in my room, then Matt's, then
yeah,
Jess's.
Yes.
The final night, one night off, and then one more night. We'll roll the dice.
Okay. Ooh, it's going to be.
An armored car got bogged in the snow, so was unable to make it to this small branch that day, meaning there was more cash on the premises than there should have been.
Oh.
And the men got away with approximately $130,000 in US cash.
Oh, that's a lot of cash.
I mean, that sounds like a lot, but It's not that much, really, is it? In terms of like...
Okay, I'd take it.
Yeah, but would you risk going to jail forever for 130 grand and throwing a woman to the floor?
Oh, I'd throw a woman to the floor in a fun wrestling match with her consent.
Well, you probably get paid better for that than this.
Yeah, good point. It's nothing to sneeze at.
But yeah, so I guess it's a lot because it was such a tiny bank. No security guards, just the two tellers, the only people on premises.
Right, so that's why it's targeted, I guess.
Yeah.
And is it a stroke of luck for the robbers that the armored car didn't make it?
Yes, or at least it seemed like a stroke of luck.
Right.
Oh,
unless they made it snow.
The two men were arrested the following day at Denver Airport trying to fly to Mexico.
Denver Airport, you say?
Yeah, that's where Lucifer's from, I believe.
That's true.
Getting interesting. Is it? We did an episode ages ago, for those who don't know, about the spooky Denver Airport. This is in our live Sydney episode from last year.
About conspiracy theories.
That was That's right. Wild conspiracy theories. Go back and listen. Great fun time.
Great fun time.
I believe it was episode 150.
Beautiful crowd.
The two men were Australians Anthony Prince and Luke Carroll, 19-year-olds from near Byron Bay on the coast of New South Wales.
How'd they get there? How'd they get over there? Planes.
Flew on a plane, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot planes.
The men were in Vail on a working holiday, spending their time working at a sports store and snowboarding. So that's the brief summary of events. I'll now go into more detail to explain how these men went from being snowboarders to bank robbers and why they came to be known as the Dumb and Dumber Bandits.
Oh, I love... Oh, I will now...
Yeah, cue amazing music. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. That was amazing music.
I liked the at the bit.
Comes up and says, Dumb and Dumber Robbers.
They started planning their trip when they were 18 and were excited for it to all come together. Prince later told the ABC's Australian Story. You familiar with the show?
I love Australian Story.
Yes.
It's like for non-Australians, what would you call it? It's like it's just sort of like a...
It's a profile. Say
a long form 60 Minutes?
Yeah, only it's...
No, it's not 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes is more of a current affair programs, news. Australian Story is literally stories of Australians. It's a profile.
Yes, exactly. I'm just trying to think of a comparable show. Like This Is Your Life.
Kind of, yeah. It just tells
not always interesting stories. Yeah, so it'll be a piece of someone's life or an event, like in this case. This isn't a robbers. This is your life. Mike Munro comes out with the velvet jail.
Like, oh my God, Michael!
Whose voice is this? Oh, that's the police officer who arrested me.
Oh my God, I haven't seen Terrence in 4 years.
Terry.
Oh, you prick, you sent me to jail.
Oh, Terry! And they have a brawl.
Yeah, like that. Much like that.
Have we explained what the show is yet?
Yeah, I think people get the idea.
So this is what Prince said when he was on ABC Australian Story. Vail was amazing. As soon as we drove into the area, I fell in love with it. It was a great job working 9 to 5 in a sports store. We were given a lot of time off to hit the mountain, go snowboarding, given season passes for as cheap as chips. So we're really looked after.
Okay, sounds like everything's going pretty well.
Yeah, I mean...
Sounds
great. What more could you want?
Prince said they started to feel bulletproof over there and started pushing the boundary of the law. The boundaries of the law. That's a phrase. They started going to nightclubs on fake IDs because obviously you got to be 21 over there.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why I think more American kids should come to Australia. But like, if you're an 18, 19-year-old, just wait a couple of years before you go to the US. Not that drinking is everything, you know. But it would be nice.
Nice to have the option.
Yeah. You want to have a vino with your dinner.
They've got a great craft brewery scene over there, you know.
But American kids listening, come to Australia. You can drink here. It's fun. Safely.
Yeah, and responsibly.
Yeah.
And you don't need it to have fun.
God, no, I don't.
No.
But let's wrap this up so we can go drink.
Or come to Thailand where they don't give a shit how old you
are. Yeah, they don't really care.
So, yeah, so that the fake IDs thing, that's on the lower end, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the lower end of the boundary.
Yeah. They're just feeling a bit confident.
Yeah. Then they started, you know, seeing some of their shops, like Walmart. You could buy bow and arrows and guns and all sorts of things. And they're like, this is wild over here. It feels like anything goes. And they bought some paintball guns. And apparently took them home.
Anything goes. We could get a shotgun. Let's get some paintball guns.
So they took them home. I mean, they're just dipping their toe in, I guess. And they apparently started shooting the paintball guns, read somewhere through their windows at passing cars and other houses. The cops came. The cops were called and they were charged for that.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what the fence is, but it was, you know, painting, unwanted painting of cars in little ball.
Like if you're going to paint a car, you better finish what you started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your punishment is to shoot this car until it's all white.
Yeah. Like a dad teaching his car not to smoke.
Teaching his car not to smoke? That's what
I said. I'm going to stand here until this entire packet of cigarettes has been shoved up the exhaust pipe.
And then we'll see if you still think smoking's cool. Yeah,
that's right.
97 Corolla. Yeah.
If you want to break down on the highway again, we'll see. Smoking on my watch.
Thought I roached you better.
That old cliche. In another incident, they found a credit card, and rather than handing it in, they tried to buy an iPod with it. That dates this whole story a little bit.
Yeah,
this
is one iPod, please.
And they were found out for that as well. This is Prince again, Australian story, said, "It was just out of greed, you know. I think that we thought no law applied to us, and we had all this confidence. And, you know, we felt like we could get away with anything."
Even though they haven't gotten away with
it. Yeah.
The credit card didn't work and they've been arrested for shooting cars with paintballs.
And they're like, "We're bulletproof.
You guys can't do shit to us.
Shoot your gun at me. I bet it wouldn't even hurt me.
I'm basically invisible to you."
I'm over here. I'm over here.
As they're putting cuffs on him. How'd you do that?
And you can't cuff air, man.
If I'd been able to buy that iPod, I'd be listening to some pretty cool rap music right now. But I wasn't. Somehow I was found out.
It's a mystery to me.
So these acted as stepping stones to the larger crime. Prince went on to say that it just seemed to escalate till the point where we were like, how crazy would it be to take these BB guns into that bank and rob it? That would be crazy, bro. You know? It's a joke. This is all the quote. "It was a small bank, two female employees, no security whatsoever. You'd be stupid not to try it." I think that's the life that it took. It began with a joke, and then it just slowly, subconsciously moved into something which was real, and we talked ourselves into it. I remember standing out the front of the bank making that decision. Let's do it. We're here now. Let's get it done. So I walked in first, and Luke was behind me.
We're here. Let's just get it done. Get it over and done with. Run our errands.
I mean, we're going to rob this bank, so let's just do it.
Let's just get it over and done.
Talking about it like it's Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I know. Like, all right, I've got presents for grandma. I got one for my mom and my sister-in-law. Let's just get this over and done with.
Let's get my brother
rob
done
this
now.
Bank.
By robbing this bank.
And giving him cash.
Giving 130K, wrapping it up, putting it under the tree. That's it. Michael, that's for you.
Merry Christmas. I love you. You deserve it.
What's this blood? Stop asking questions.
Don't worry about it. Who did I hurt for this? No, just a woman.
Yeah, just Vasquez.
They knew the bank well, as it was their local bank. They were regulars there.
They're regulars. Just the usual.
Me
and two staff members there, so they probably know them.
Yeah, the tellers knew them very well.
Oh, my God.
They cut distinctive figures, too. One was tall and lanky, the other short and stocky. By the sounds of it, they were the only two Australian customers of the bank.
Oh, my God.
So while there wasn't much they could do to hide their obvious frames, you'd assume that they would have barged in and started yelling in non-Australian accents.
I would assume that, Matt, yes.
Well, you'd assume wrong. They barged in and started yelling in broad Australian accents. G'day, give us money.
G'day, it's me, Luke.
Can't give us all the money. Go on.
Hi, Jessica. How are you? Are you good?
Why not?
Oh, go on. I'll tell Mum.
Is that broad?
It's pretty broad.
I don't know.
I mean, we have very sophisticated Australian
accents.
I
might have the broadest one.
Of the three of us?
Did my voice change when I was doing that? I was just saying, talking louder.
Louder.
Yeah.
Too right, I did. You know, I lived for 5 years in the country.
First five.
We
weren't even talking
fives.
For all of those.
Oh, right. Calling me a slobo, eh?
Yeah, you're a slobo.
You weren't talking for the first 4.5.
I talked right. I talked my way out of there. Mom, let me out. That's it. No, I'm done in here. Get us out of here. I'm done.
I'm cooked.
Come on, Mum.
Come.
Get the doctor. I'm ready.
Come.
Born ready.
I was born ready. I'm not yet, but I will be born ready. I'm ready to be born ready. Mum? Mum? So they barged in wearing their goggles, ski gear. They were snowboarders, so they had all their outfits ready to go.
But I imagine that their outfits that people know that they wear.
Not necessarily. I think that, you know, they might have even got special ones for it.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, treat yourself.
And the teller said they didn't even think much of it. They're in a ski town. People come in wearing ski gear all the time. They don't normally brandish guns. So that was when they said, oh, something.
They were willing to make an exception.
Yeah.
Keep an open mind.
This one's different.
It's also been reported that they were wearing their name tags from their day job.
Fuck me.
You are not.
No.
You are kidding me.
You dumb shit.
It says sports power and then his name.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Amazing.
So that was reported on in the media, but I'm sure it also came up in the court. Their lawyers mentioned it in the case. So
their own lawyers.
Yeah.
Their own lawyers think they're idiots.
Yeah. So
and they would like to plead not guilty.
Because that just feels more on brand for them. They don't quite get it.
They're bulletproof. What are you going to do? Send them to jail forever? Can't. You even see them? You can't charge what you can't see. So giving clear giveaways to their identities wasn't the only blunder they made. According to Jessica Gunther, the teller, when she was filling the pillow with cash, the pillowcases with cash, she got down to the small notes, and assuming they wouldn't want to take the dollar bills, she asked, "You want to carry all these $1 bills?" And one of the guys, I think it was Carol, replied, "Shut up. Put everything in there. Everything. Hurry up." Gunther later told Australian Story, "I was just thinking, you're so stupid. You want to carry around like $5,000 in dollar bills?"
She's offering them help. You don't want this, do you?
This is a waste of space. But it was like he thought she was tricking him or something. Shut up. So it's these mind games of logic. It meant that their getaway was difficult as they were hauling pillowcases so heavy with cash that they had to drag them all on the ground. They were so full they couldn't even close the tops.
Far out.
They went into an alleyway to try and get as much of it as they could into backpacks. But it wouldn't all fit, so they had to abandon about $2,000 worth of dollar bills into the snow.
And that's not plastic money like Australian money. Like, that shit's just going to disintegrate.
Yeah.
And when you say their getaway, is their getaway just putting it into a backpack and then walking home?
No. Apparently, their getaway plan from there, which I do not understand, was to catch a ski lift.
One ticket, good sir.
No,
I will be paying in cash.
They used their ski passes.
Were they tapped on?
Yeah, basically, which helped, you know, helped the prosecutors go, well, we know they were here at this time, moments after the
run.
So their plan was this is what they did. They caught a ski lift to the top of the mountain, snowboarded down with the backpacks full of cash. I don't understand why.
Why go up to come back down?
I don't know. And then they went
they were going to go snowboarding day anyway.
I mean, we do this every day, may as well.
I was wondering was it like on an angle they came up one side and went down the other, or was it because they were like, we're fleeing now, let's do it one last time? Or I'm not sure. But anyway, the plan was to go then to Denver Airport to get to Mexico.
So it's snowboard to Denver Airport.
Yeah, but I don't understand the snowboarding thing, but anyway. And yeah, the tapping on meant there was a record of exactly where and when.
Maybe feel like that would be like an alibi? I think I'm giving them too much credit.
Could, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
As in like, how could I have been robbing a bank when only a couple of minutes later?
Half an hour later, I was half an hour away. On a ski lift.
Yeah. So...
with a bag of cash. Oh, no.
I've said too much.
Ryan Milburn was one of the cops who was first to arrive at the scene of the crime, aka the bank.
Officer Milburn's quite nice.
Into lingo there.
Yeah.
He said the bank tellers were able to give an amazing physical description of the culprits, saying one was so tall with an Australian accent and one was much shorter and stockier, also with an Australian accent. He went on to say that through our contact with the previous BB gun incident, which I think is the paintball incident.
Oh, yeah.
And then my previous contact with the credit card fraud, it pretty much screamed out to all of us that these were our main suspects. I would say we had them identified within 8 minutes of the robbery.
At that time, they're still walking to a ski lift.
Yeah, and the cop's like, oh, well, we know who it is.
8 minutes. Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
When Prince and Carol got to Denver, they tried to get a flight to Mexico that afternoon, but they had to wait till the next day. But that gave them the rest of the day to figure out what to do with all this cash.
They hadn't even booked a flight. They hadn't even really looked up flights.
No.
Which, I mean, internet was around back then.
Yeah, well, I think well and truly.
Yeah, you definitely could have looked it up.
So
just go to the airport and go.
Could have looked up the MySpace for Denver Airport, and I would have probably said you would, you know, top eight friends would have had some info about the next flights, I think. I forget how it used to work, but something like that.
One flight to Mexico, good sir. I mean, there isn't a flight today. It's already gone. Maybe
okay.
Tomorrow.
Can I use my Lyft pass or...
to get to Mexico? No.
Yes to Mexico.
Yes, there's no ski lift
I'll
to Mexico.
I'll just go up a mountain that's high enough and then I'll come down the other side.
Okay.
To Mexico.
I don't think you understand.
So now they had all day. They had the rest of their day and... And in that time, they'll figure out what to do with all that cash.
Hope they went to work.
Yeah, they went back to the sports store.
Did an honest day's work.
Yeah. No, they hung out in Denver and they had a multi-pronged attack with what to do with this cash, the excess cash, because you can only take so much cash on a flight.
Of course.
Some of the things they did or tried to do was mail the cash home to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Just wrapped up in
cellophane.
Gaffer tape or something. Yeah.
To make it look pretty.
Marked as card only.
Yeah.
It weighs 25 kilos.
Card only. Don't look at here, bad guys.
It's just a real thick card. It's a wad of card. They also bought jewelry, including gold diamond rings. And Prince also said that he tried buying a Rolex with $5 bills. And he described that experience as interesting. which made it sound like they were like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
They also paid their taxi driver $20,000.
That's one sixth of the money you've stolen.
It's a big chunk.
Why
yeah.
is it to the? That must have been a hell of a trip.
Maybe yeah. I wonder. I don't know if that was from. Maybe it was from Vail to Denver. Let me see how far that is.
19 minutes.
You get $1,000 per minute.
Plus what? A little something for yourself.
Plus I'm going to round it up because I hate numbers like 19. Like just go one more.
You give me the change.
An hour, hour and 40.
Yeah, it probably cost you about $20,000.
They're bloody crooks.
They're crooks.
Despite all of this, when they got to the airport the following morning, they still had too much cash to get through customs. So they decided to chuck the excess in the bin.
Oh,
what?
Okay.
Go find another taxi driver. Before they did this, though, they went into a bathroom and took photos posing with the cash. That's a memento.
Sign saying, yes, I did it.
Prince remembers having, this is a quote, a weird feeling that this was going to come back to haunt him.
Oh,
and he
just
was right.
Just this part.
Yeah, he did it anyway.
Just the photo part.
Yeah, as he's doing it. Mm.
Oh, this feels like a bad idea.
He was right. These photos would be used as evidence by prosecutors.
But I like to think he was like, oh, this could be a bad idea. This is my bad side. There we go.
The FBI.
That's the money shot.
Oh, that's good stuff. That
I'm
joke.
Applauding myself.
That joke is the money shot.
I'm very tired. Maybe jet lagged. I don't know.
So I think these are some, like, I was familiar with these photos because they made big news in Australia at the time. And it was the Australian media that dubbed them the Dumb and Dumber Bandits. The FBI had sent out an alert to transport hubs in the area, including the Denver airport, would be the main one, with photos and a description of the pair. Prince described arriving at the airport saying, "We come strolling in side by side. They waited for us to just file through that customs section, which is a bottleneck. I gave my passport to this lady and she kind of looked at me and it was a bit of a strange look. And she's like, yes, sir, if you could just come through here, this security check over here. It's just a random check.
Hmm.
I was like, yes, sweet, whatever. And by the time I looked up, there was probably about 30 police that just came out of nowhere with guns drawn screaming at us, get on the floor, don't move, don't move, you're under arrest.
And I thought to myself, yes, this is a pretty random security check.
This is totally random.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, sweet, whatever. As he gets on the floor.
Cool, this is cool.
Cool, it's procedure.
I'm fine, happy.
Whatever.
Happy to help.
Hey, I've got no drugs or anything on me.
You're protecting us from the baddies.
And I thank you for that.
Happy to take 5 minutes out of my day to make sure we're all safe.
The Americans, they do security pretty full on. Yeah. Not only you have to take your shoes off, but also now 30 guns drawn at you as they check in your pants. Okay. I don't know if that happened, to be honest, but you don't like to assume that you don't like to assume anything, really.
Pants were checked. Mistakes were made.
Wait, was this... Where was this?
This is at Denver Airport.
They're still at Denver. They haven't even gotten...
No, they bought their tickets the next day and they've chucked the money in the bin.
Yeah, right, sorry. I thought they'd made it back to Australia or something. They haven't even done that.
No, they've only made two journeys. One, or three, really. One's up a hill, one's down a hill, and then they had a $20,000 taxi ride. Now they're in Denver. That's it. That is it.
Yeah, got it. Sorry.
And the police have known who they are 480 seconds after they left the bank.
And this is now 24 hours later. Brilliant.
Like they obviously were just like, they're going to rock up at the airport. We know they're going to be there. They had 30 people, cops waiting, FBI agents and stuff. Because there nothing about you would be like, let's think outside the box with these two. I reckon they're going to come up with a pretty wily escape plan. Yeah.
Block all the exits.
These cops are like, yeah, they're going to be at the airport. Oh, look at that. They've paid for flights on a credit card. So we know exactly when they're leaving. Excellent.
Like the head FBI guy didn't even have to say all units go, go, go. They all just slowly walked up to them. I suppose I'll pull my gun out just for show.
Give a little show.
I haven't pulled my gun out in weeks. Yeah. Giving my gun a bit of a rest.
I'm bored.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching.
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I used to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
So you went on to say of the arrest. And that's a feeling like no other, for sure. Just feeling your heart just drop. Yeah, it was pretty intense. They cuffed us up, took us out back. And as we walked out, I could see all these fax machines and computers. That dates it as well, fax machines. All these fax machines and computers with our faces on it and put us both into these holding tanks, separate. And they cuffed us to this little iron bed and that was that. All over Red Rover.
Ridgey Didge.
Ridgey Didge all over Red Rover.
These are the Aussiest dudes ever.
Yeah.
They're now arrested and they were charged and sent to court. They entered guilty pleas, and with the amount of evidence against them, it would have been wild to do otherwise.
What do you mean? Nah, I didn't do it.
Nah, mistaken identity.
Yeah. What are these photos on your Instagram?
This is a setup. Photoshop. I've been photoshopped.
They were up for a potential maximum sentence of 25 years.
Oh, dear.
And the prosecution asked for at least 7. The defense painted a picture of 2 hapless goofballs. Yeah, that's why I was saying they're wearing their name tags. You know, I was trying to make them idiots. These idiots, they don't deserve to go to away for 25
These
years.
These idiots won't survive in prison.
Yeah. But the defense painted a different picture saying, 2 athletic young men going into a bank with what look like real firearms and pushing people around is an horrific event.
You mean the prosecution?
Yeah, what did I say?
You said the defense twice.
Okay, the prosecution. Then,
yeah,
sorry.
That makes sense.
It sounds like they represented themselves.
Your Honor.
Your Honor. It's
I
actually,
will be representing myself.
It's a horrific crime. And then the other one gets up and says, we are too dumb. Throw the book at us. Don't throw anything at us.
We can't even catch. We're hopeless.
And the other one's like, no, we're really athletic.
Everything's on purpose.
There is some irony about me talking about these 2 dumb guys as I'm struggling to put a full sentence together. The Age newspaper in Australia reported on the adjudication at the time saying, tears flowed as Australia's bumbling bank-robbing duo Luke Carroll and Anthony Prince and their parents made emotional pleas for mercy in a US court. The dramatic tear-filled speeches appeared to have helped the US District Court Judge Philip Feger as he jailed the two mates, nicknamed Dumb and Dumber by the press, for far less than the maximum 25-year sentence. Carroll was sentenced to 5 years in a US prison, while New Zealand-born Prince was handed a 4.5-year jail term.
Wonder why.
I think my guess, and I don't know if I don't think the judge ever said this, but I think either read it or I probably just read it, to be honest. I was going to say, I put it together with my nous.
Oh, thanks, Poirot.
But I think he was the one who threw the woman to the ground.
Carol.
So he got more. The violent act.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if that
Which
makes
I think
sense.
Also made the crime a more full-on crime than it would have been otherwise.
Yep.
If
Rather
they
than
didn't
just robbing.
Touch him. Yeah.
Yep.
I also like how The Age put in New Zealand-born Prince.
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's not one of ours.
No.
There's an unnecessary little factoid
there.
Yeah,
it's...
According to another report, they were also fined with more than $21,000 to make up for the money not recovered from the robbery, which I hope is the taxi driver just got away with that 20.
That would be so sweet.
But I imagine he would have... Like, how do they find that out?
Yeah, for them to know.
Yeah. I think he probably would have lost it.
But $20,000, that's like $10,000 each. That's not that much.
No.
To
but
have
the
to pay
5 years
off.
In, apparently, everything I've read from this especially was the American jail system is brutal.
Yeah. And so would that mean that obviously like 5 years would be up ages ago now? Would they not be allowed back in the US?
Yeah, that's
ever,
right.
Ever? Or for
yeah,
just
I
a really
ever.
Long time? Ever.
Yeah.
You can't even go to Disneyland, you dickheads.
Not in America.
Not the OG.
No. But you can go to the one in, where'd you go, Dave? Paris?
I haven't been. No, I haven't
I've been to Paris.
There's Tokyo.
Tokyo, Hong Kong.
Shanghai.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Really diluted the brand.
Yeah. It's less fun now.
Yeah. Somehow that ruins the experience in LA and Florida.
Yeah.
As you can probably tell from the lack of quotes from him, Luke Carroll has laid low since the crime, while Prince has been very open and public about his experiences, even writing a book about it called Bank Robbery for Beginners.
Oh, my God. It's like he hasn't learnt.
Learn from the best.
But
how you can get caught in 48 hours or less.
It's a catchy title, I guess. But it upset some people, including bank teller Jessica Gunther, who had forgiven Prince. Prince had written a handwritten letter to her around the time saying how sorry he was, all that sort of stuff. And
what about
I think
the
she
other
sort
one
of forgave
well?
Him. I think maybe, yeah, maybe it
maybe
was both
of them,
yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently she sort of accepted his apology at the time. But when this book came out, she told reporters that it made her feel incredibly violated and disrespected, saying, for him to publish such personal details about my horrifying experience in his words without any warning or my permission and to share it with the world is a huge slap in the face for someone who reached out to him and stood up for him. Going on to say that it's hard to see him profiting from the crime when she and the other teller are still feeling the effects of it.
Mm.
The other teller, Kim Vasquez, having ongoing pain from the injury.
Oh.
And I think she's still isn't able to play the sport she likes to play and these sort of things. This, I mean, this is in 2010, so this was 5 years after the incident, which is now 9 years ago. So,
yeah.
I don't have an update on that, but obviously quite long-term effects from the injury.
Far out.
Sure. And like you say, profiting from crime is never a good thing.
Yeah, which you're not allowed to do in America, I believe. It's the Son of Sam something or other, Son of Sam rule. But obviously, because it's published in Australia, that's some sort of a loophole around it, maybe.
That sucks.
I'm not sure. Prince calls the book a story of criminal stupidity and its very serious consequences. In it, he talks about how he had to join a white supremacist gang in prison to survive.
Whoa.
What the fuck?
He said it was all very divided racially in the prison system and you had to join a gang. And he supposedly had to join a white supremacist gang.
You can't just go about your business.
Yeah, I read that. It's like, holy shit. That's...
Which gang would you join?
Probably the Happy Friends.
Yeah.
Is that an option? The one that make Daisy Chains.
Oh, the Daisy Chain twins.
Yeah, the Daisy Chain twins. Boys.
There's only two.
Is Matt one of them or?
Yeah, it's me and Matt. In American prison. Don't worry, we can handle ourselves.
We hold the power in there. In it, he also talks, in the book, he also talks about being cut with a blade in an argument about changing TV channels. Got a deep gash.
I mean, you just wouldn't argue with anyone in there, would you?
But he talked about that as well. Like, you have to stand up for yourself. Otherwise, it never ends. Even if you stand up for yourself and you get beaten, that's better in the long term, he was saying.
Wow.
He was saying if someone cuts in front of you in line when you're lining up for lunch, if you don't say anything, then you're going to be a target.
Yeah, because you're easy. You're soft. Is that right?
Yeah.
I am easy and soft.
Yeah, so you got to, yeah, anyway.
Dave, you are difficult and rock hard.
All the time. Especially in prison.
This is a little bit like what I studied at uni was about criminology. It was a bit about this stuff, mainly more about Australian system. But it was talked about how, like, prisons systems, they often just become places that are kind of criminal training grounds. They're not places that where you get rehabilitated.
Mm.
They just make people go in and come out even harder than when they went in. It doesn't seem like it makes much sense.
Maybe it's not a good idea for you, Dave.
Yeah, I couldn't come out any harder.
You couldn't come out. It would be dangerous, medically.
Dangerous for me and other people.
The American system has a lot of privatized prisons. And so they make money from having prisoners.
Oh.
So there's no... It's a weird system that rewards companies for people being punished with jail terms. Isn't it? It's pretty fascinating sort of system, but it doesn't seem to... It seems pretty broken, but... anyhow, that is a long-lapsed degree, so I'm only going off very vague memories.
That was back in the 1800s.
Lapsed? Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to do a refresher course or something if you wanted to practice.
Yeah.
As a criminologist. And everyone needs a good criminologist, you know? Like, I've got my chiropractor, my psychologist, dietitian, but I am in the market for a new
criminologist. You don't have a brain surgeon either, Jess, you know? There are a lot of things you don't have that are still worthwhile.
Wow, Matt. Wow.
Do you have a brain surgeon?
Of course! I've got him on retainer. I'm broke! My brain's fine.
I owe him a lot of money.
That will surprise listeners that my brain is fine. Like physically, mentally. Oh boy. It bad in there. It bad.
Okay.
You look at me when I confess my feelings to you. It bad in there.
Okay.
It bad.
Yep.
She's tapping her head.
It bad in here.
For the record, she's tapping her head.
The case rest.
I wonder if you can hear it.
Is that coming through?
Oh, that's coming through.
Yep.
Loud and clear.
Apparently, his co-author, who I'm not sure it even was, but the co-author of the book has contacted Gunther to say Prince was planning on using the proceeds to pay back his parents for all the money they had spent in the aftermath of the robbery. I guess they had to fly over. I don't know if they had to pay money for his defense and stuff like that, but I don't know if that made her feel any better. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's making money out of this story. It's hurting me. That's, find another, get a job, find another way to earn the money.
Or
I guess is
if it was like I'm donating all the money to a charity or something. Yeah. Okay.
And at least like I think one of the things that seems to like she mentioned that he didn't tell her the first she heard about it was when he's promoting it.
Yeah. No. Let her know.
Let her know and find go. Is this going to be an issue? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing to have
done. Especially if they was using their names.
Hmm.
Then it's like...
Well, and their names are very readily available online.
True,
they've been
yeah,
reported the whole way through, so...
Yeah, good point.
Either way, I think, you know...
Everyone would know. And we'll be able to find out.
She was saying she had to quit. Like, I think they both moved on from the bank industry. She'd worked there since she was 17 or something. She went and studied, and she, at that point, was struggling for work. So it's like, on top of her struggling to find work, yeah. She's seen this guy who... made her life a bit of a nightmare is making money off the story that she was involved in.
That's not okay.
Are they both back in Oz now, you
yes.
imagine?
Yes, they are now both back home in Australia. And according to an article on news.com.au, in 2010, when the article's from, Prince said that still good mates with Luke Carroll, saying, I still catch up with him for a surf. I can confide in him. He's my partner in crime.
Oh,
stop
you suck. You suck. You don't get to laugh about it. You haven't learnt anything, you dumbass.
I think it does sound like he has learnt, but yeah, he sort of... I don't know.
No.
The article also addressed the Dumb and Dumber tag, quoting Prince as saying, it's hard to shake. It's the first thing people talk about, Dumb and Dumber. But I've come to terms with it. I've matured and I'm extremely confident about the person I am. I'm happy to laugh about it.
All right, it's confidence that got you in this mess in the first place. Maybe dial down some of that confidence. You won't end up in jail.
He said,
I can buy a paintball gun. I can rob a bank.
I'm a white supremacist now. How did this happen?
Confidence, baby.
What? Yeah. And the way he told it was that he wasn't actually a white supremacist, but he's in there just like playing that.
Having to join a gang.
Yeah.
He went on to say, I'm extremely remorseful, but there's a flip side, and that it was a crazy funny thing, and it's okay to laugh. Obviously, it's a stupid thing that I did, and I deserve it.
It's not, I mean, it's not that funny.
Yeah, the main problem is there are two people who've been scarred by this who are fully innocent
in
it.
That's what I mean. And like, no, at the end of the day.
Outside of that, maybe, but.
It's funny to us laughing at all of the things that you did and your overconfidence and stupidity, but the actual crime that you went to jail for is not funny.
Yeah, it's a genuinely violent crime.
And it's how terribly you didn't think things through, and that's what's funny, but you don't get to be in on that joke because you're just an idiot.
It's like Gunther said that when they first came in, she was like, she wasn't sure about the guns. She thought maybe they're fakes. But then she said when he was holding it to her head saying, put the money in the bag, she was so scared that she couldn't even remember the combination for the safe that he's yelling at her. So she was, I mean, it's pretty traumatic stuff.
Yeah, it's awful. So it's not funny.
But, I mean, then you've got, not that this makes it better, but there are people like, you know, Chopper Reed, which was another topic that I put up for the vote against this one. And he wrote books and made money and became a sort of a public personality, and he's supposedly killed quite a few people.
Yeah.
But then the people he killed, were they underworld figure? I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, they're sort of, it's like a spectrum of fucked upness, but, yeah. Anyway, Obviously, using fake IDs, that's on one end.
Yeah. And then taking guns to a
I never
bank.
Did that, by the way. I never used a fake ID.
Me either.
What I did was...
Unbelievable.
I'd get in before they put the security on the door.
Yes.
Hide in the toilets and then wait for long enough.
How long are we talking?
That's exactly what my high school boyfriend did because he was born in the Feb the following year.
Right.
So he would do exactly that. We'd go to the Knot. Did you go to the Knot?
No, that was my local uni pub, but
yeah.
I never went there.
That's where we would go.
We went to the Edgy. It was right across the road from our school.
Yeah, okay. We'd go to the Knot and we'd get there at about like 6 and have dinner and because security was on from 8, which is when most people turned up. And then when they came around and checked our IDs, he'd just go to the toilet and we'd message him when he could come out.
But
did that several times.
I think the security ended up figuring that out. They And when they did their... So they do a lap asking people for IDs who are already inside. And then they'd go onto the toilets and go, well, you've been in here a long time.
Anyway, everything okay?
Can you hear... Just slide your ID under the door.
I remember one time the security were coming around. I didn't do this heaps of times, but one time I was... security were coming around asking for IDs. So I went to a table of old people. Like, not old. I thought of them as old people because I was 17, but they were probably like, 28 or something. So I went up to them.
Oh, they're practically dead.
I went up to them and I was like, hey, having a few drinks, how's it going, sort of thing. So then security came down around to check IDs. It would be like, he's not checking the old people table.
Yeah.
But he did. He came up to me and goes, you're 18? I said, yeah. And I'm like, oh, cool. And he didn't ask for ID. And then the rest of the table, what do you do? So I'm like, I'm in this now. I'm in this line. I'm like, yeah, I'm a 22-year-old. And I just said everything about my older sister. I'm studying marketing and don't ask me any questions. And
my name's Michelle. Do you want to say your real sister's name? Just in case, but yeah.
But if she's listening, we definitely know your name.
Yes, we know your name. And we know it's not Michelle.
It's not Michelle.
That's right. Well done.
Thank you.
You nailed it. So he's saying it was stupid. Yeah. It's funny and whatever.
I'm remorseful, but it's hilarious.
I accept the Dumb and Dumber name. There's nothing I can do about that. I was an idiot.
Yeah.
I accept the name. Like, there's a choice here, man.
Yeah.
All right. Punishment fits the crime. I'm Dumb and Dumber.
And then his friend named Rashid Habib was on Australian Story as well. This is the last little bit I got for the report. Talking about the Dumb and Dumber name, he said, yeah, he doesn't really care about the Dumb and Dumber tag. It all ended up actually helping him in the end because it showed that they were just two stupid kids that had gone to America and robbed a bank, and I guess their prison sentence reflected that. So he can't really complain about the Dumb and Dumber tag. They were pretty dumb.
That's so good.
But I think, and it does seem like that is that their lower sentence probably did come out of the fact that they were seen as being, real dumb. They're just like, oh, these idiots, they didn't really know what they were doing. They were just all of a sudden robbing a bank. And that's kind of how they told the story, right? I was standing there like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
I guess let's do it. Like, let's pull it off like a band-aid. Let's just get it done.
Yeah. Get it done. Get it over and done with.
And yeah. I mean, yeah, so the amount of money they just chucked in bins.
Or in the snow.
That's insane.
So it's the end of the Dumb and Dumber report. I do have one fun fact.
Yay! I'll decide.
Haven't done one of these for a while. It's not super fun, but it's about the town of Vail. I clicked on its Wikipedia page. I always like to see the notable residents.
Oh, I love it. Alumni.
Vail, Colorado's notable residents include Metallica frontman James Hetfield.
Oh.
This little ski town. He moved there not too long ago from his long-term home in the Bay Area so he could feel like a part of nature, as well as taking part in his favorite hobbies like hunting.
And yelling, you!
But he wanted to hunt with less judgment. He found in the Bay Area it was very judgy, and he used the word elites a few times, elitist.
He was like out on a boat shooting a whale. The tourists watching on. Yeah, he's got a cannon. Stop judging me.
You fucking Bay Area. Metallica. Elitists.
He found that showing up with a deer on the bumper doesn't fly with the elitists of Marin County, where he's from. So what he also said, and another quote he said was, their kind of organic eating didn't jive with my kind of organic eating. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know.
Was he kicked out of a restaurant?
I'm not sure. He just sounds like he's the guy who calls up AM radio to complain about the kids.
I mean, yeah, kids these days.
So he's a 50-year-old absolute multimillionaire and he's calling other people elitists.
Yeah, I know. It's always funny. The people who use elitists is always a little bit ironic, but... He also, they did one thing, and I'm not sure about this, that apparently it kicked up a bit of a stink. There was a popular hiking trail that went through his property, and he fenced off his part of the property so they couldn't, that trail couldn't go there, through there anymore. Part of me's like, yeah, that's a dick move. Does that really affect you? But the other part is like, I mean, it is private property. I guess he's able to do that if he wants to.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, if you're on like quite a bit of property and it's nowhere near your house and people are just kind of skimming the corner of your property on a track that they've been walking for many, many, it is a little bit weird. Yeah, but if it's like in your backyard and you like to be nude,
yeah,
then...
imagine it's like through his, it takes in like his porch. Because they're stepping over his hammock on the front porch.
You have to swim through his pool to get to the other side.
Then I agree. You know,
he
what?
Fenced off his pool. Yeah. It was for safety, the kids. Didn't want to fall in.
Oh, this dick.
You fucking elitist.
But also maybe it was because neighbors were pissing him off, giving him trouble for the things he was, his hobbies and stuff. And he's like, well, fuck you then. I'm cutting off your hiking trail.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? It's funny how people get older, get property and stuff, yeah, and all of a sudden become real petty with stuff. There's some point in your life where you get real petty about, I guess when you've got property, it's a lot better of an opportunity to be petty.
But imagine if you're on a hiking trail and you're like, oh, it says private property, we should make it through. James Hetfield rocks up in his ute,
shooting at you with a moose gun or something. Like a musket. Imagine he'd be a musket man.
Musket man.
That's blasting on his radio.
I want to be a musket man.
Is there any... Was that a fun fact, Bob?
That was pretty fun.
Oh, crap.
That was a fun digression. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that whole report, man. That was
thank you so much.
A wild story.
Had you heard of that, Jess? Dumb and Dumber?
I think that photo vaguely rings a bell, but maybe not.
Let me pull...
It's so recent.
I don't remember it.
I thought earlier, Dave, you were being a bit knowing and you were holding back on.
No
memory of that. This is the photo which we'll post somewhere.
Oh no, I don't remember that. But
that's
so
his
funny.
Photo in the bathroom.
And it's not even like him with the back. It's him like.
Oh, it's a bad photo too.
He's doing fish. What do you call them? Duck lips.
Yes, yeah. They were very cool back then. Though, to be fair,
he's got a stack in one hand and then the other hand is fanning out hundreds.
20s.
Oh, God.
Well, these are the ones he was putting in the bin. You wouldn't put hundreds in the bin.
No, they probably would.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's a tricky one. The worst thing about it is that woman is still injured. There's something about him that I kind of... I'm okay with him. But
I don't like him.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. He's just... Like, he was a kid. He was 19.
That's not...
That is the
old.
Classic thing.
I mean, that's not young, that young. Yeah.
And that is the classic thing, you know, you forgive boys being boys when really not most people aren't knocking people to the ground.
I mean, just for example, you and I never used a fake ID.
Exactly.
We didn't even go on the lowest end of their rebellion spectrum.
And for example...
We hid in toilets.
I waited until I was 18.
The other dumbest heist we've talked about recently, the Loomis Fargo heist. I'd describe that as a victimless crime almost because an employee of an armoured car business stole the money.
Right.
No one ever got hurt out of it.
Yeah.
And they were fucking dumb, absolutely.
Yeah.
But these people, they have traumatised and hurt two ladies.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not a victimless crime.
Yeah, totally.
Far out.
That there was a victim in that other crime, the owners of that cash, I suppose.
Yes, but they were insured as well. So I guess the insurance company is the victim, and if they're the victim, I'm kind
of
okay.
I don't care,
I know you shouldn't be, but I kind of am.
Yeah. Insurance companies
poor Amy.
Listening.
Yeah, poor old Amy.
Lucky you're with Amy.
Well, we just paid them back those millions with a free plug.
My parents still call it AAMI.
Oh. I love that classic, Squire.
Hello, Squire.
Squire.
So that brings us to everyone's favourite segment of the show. It's the fact, quote, or question.
I can't believe we've taken this long to get to the best bit.
Yeah. Everything else is preamble. And the fact, quote, or question section is where one of our Patreon supporters, and if you want to be a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod, and you get a whole bunch of different rewards, including bonus episodes. There's a big back catalogue there. You also get shout-outs, which we're going to do soon. You also get a weekly newsletter that Bop now writes.
Yep.
This time, she's going to be writing it poolside.
And you'll be able to tell.
It'll have
a different vibe.
It'll have a wet message.
Also, I forgot about it. So, thank you for the reminder, Matt.
You should attach a photo.
Yeah.
So for people's theater of the mind.
My knees and be like, hot dogs or legs, am I right?
Or work office for the day. So,
did you see Nick Capper's posted that today. So at the hotel where we were last night, which has this beautiful view, and it just says office for the day, and it's a photo of the beautiful view and the top of his laptop, and you can just see Pornhub is open.
That's what he loves, that bit. He loves leaving Pornhub. It's
very
accidentally
with that beautiful view was very funny.
So what one of the big rewards patrons get, if you're on the Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe / Rest in Peace level, you get to give us a factor quote or a question. This week it's Kevin Ulysses Packrad.
Oh, he's back. Kevin! Back for more.
Kevin!
And
did we forget Kevin?
One of the other things you get to do in the Patreon, in the fact, quote, or question segment is give yourself a title. And Kevin's given himself the title of Vice Junior Lobby Boy in Training of the Grand Do Go On Hotel. And his fact,
I'd be the concierge of the hotel.
Well, you are. Then you are. If that's what you'd be, that's what you are.
Thank you.
Dave's just picking up some room service, I think. What'd you get there, Dave?
Fish tacos.
fish tacos.
Can I be a junior bellboy?
Yes, yeah, you can. And I will be the senior bellboy.
The biggest bellboy there is.
Bell end, thank you. Kevin's fact, quote, or question is a fact, and I'll read it. And as people know, I don't read these until I read them. And I'm reading it now.
Operation Read, here we go.
One of my favorite facts about is wait oh okay one of my favorite facts about the band Rush. I love that already. That means he's got a lot of favorite facts. But one of his favorite facts about the band Rush is that their number one charting song isn't on any of their albums. The song is called Take Off and is on the 1981 comedy album The Great White North album and featured Geddy Lee, the lead singer of Rush. It was advertised as the hit single on the album and ended up peaking at number 16 on the Billboard Top 100, higher than any other Rush song had charted in America. This makes their best-selling song a song that has two Canadian stereotypes jabbering in the background. And he's linked to the song, which I guess I'll link in the show description. Beautiful. But it's basically, it's a sketch where he's, I guess he sings on it or something. I mean, this is why I probably should read it ahead of time.
We don't read them ahead of time. We don't watch your links ahead of time, but... But the point is that their highest rating song is on their album.
Their highest rating song is like not really one of their songs.
Yeah, right, gotcha.
Okay, you're real nice to him, eh? Okay. This is the hit single section of our album, Good Day, Good Day. Geddy Lee is here from Rush. Hi, Geddy, I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother Doug. How's it going, Geddy?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Good day, eh?
Good day. Good day.
Okay, well, that does seem like a hit song to me.
Doesn't matter how good their non-hits are.
Yeah, if I know hit music, and I do,
yeah,
that is one of them.
As a radio DJ,
that is a hit music.
Would you be spinning that track?
Oh, I'd be spinning that track on radio.
Yeah.
Where I work as a DJ.
Oh, disc jockey.
I jockey the discs, yes.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, I ride them.
You ride the discs.
I ride the discs, baby.
I love it.
Well, that is a good fact. I like that. And that band is in I Love You Man.
Right.
Is that? Yeah, that's them.
So that comic duo, their characters called Bob and Doug McKenzie. So they're like Canadian stereotypes / brothers. And they it was a sketch in 1980. Bob is played by Rick Moranis and Doug by Dave Thomas. Although originally created as filler to both satisfy and mock network Canadian content demands, the duo became a pop culture phenomenon in both Canada and the United States.
It was satire, but then people loved it. I get it.
You get it.
As a radio DJ.
Oh, as a radio disc jockey.
I get it.
So thanks so much for that fact, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin! I had an idea. So what we do at the end of the episode as well is that we like to thank some of our Patreons who contribute to the show and make this possible. And we like to give them a shout out. And if you want to be one of those people, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod. Is that right? Is it pod?
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck yeah, I nailed it. You guys never let me get this far. And I did it.
And so, you're panicking.
I'm panicking. I'm spiraling. Help me. Someone take over. And what we usually do is we make a bit of a game of it, and I've thought of one. I thought, because this one was Dumb and Dumber Bandits, I think we should give them all group names based on films.
Oh, fantastic.
Is that okay?
Are they all bandits?
They can be bandits, or do you want to think of something else as well? Or just bandits?
I
love the word bandits. Bandits, so let's go bandits.
I love the wet bandits and the sticky bandits.
The BMX bandits.
And yeah,
the
BMX those bandits. Are the best bandits, obviously.
They're the big
But we're going to make some new bandits now.
I'd love to kick it off if I could.
Please.
Because this is a very special moment for me. I'd love to thank from Fairborn in Ohio.
Fairborn.
David Nelson.
David
Ohio. Do you believe it? I still can't believe we've got listeners in Ohio.
Do you want it to be Ohio related then?
Ohio. Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, wait. It's movie related.
All right. What about...
I mean, you made the rules.
I know, but I then forgot them.
You can break
the rules. Where's Wayne's World set?
Wayne's World is set in America.
Yeah. Are they in Ohio? Am I wrong?
Oh, that's in California.
What? Wayne's World. Let me look that up. Wayne's
And there's
World.
People listening, screaming at the...
Oh, they're from Aurora, Illinois.
Aurora, Illinois,
of course. And there's people were yelling that. And I'm sorry. All three of us have said we love that movie.
I was thinking Chicago. Is that near Aurora, Illinois?
I don't know. I just banged my elbow, honestly. It hurts so much that, you know, when we can't really function.
Yeah.
Well, I've just Googled famous people from Ohio here.
Okay.
We've got Neil Armstrong.
It's not a band.
So what about Man on the Moon?
Louis
Bandits?
Armstrong.
Yeah.
Bandits. Man on the Moon Bandits.
First man on the moon.
In brackets, bandits.
In brackets, bandits. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Bandit. Or does he have a team?
Michael Collins. God, yeah. Stayed behind.
Michael Collins is the getaway driver.
He's always the second fiddle.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, David Nelson. And the Man on the Moon Bandits. I'd also love to thank from Houston, Texas, Rocket Country. There's a man on the moon. Where'd he begin? Houston with Norman Paz.
Norman Paz.
Or Norman Pay. Would that be a soft Z?
I don't think so.
Norman Paz.
All right. A movie.
Man on the Moon.
Bandits.
What are they all Jim Carrey films?
Yeah, okay.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
Man on
great.
The Moon.
Okay, yeah, right.
Okay, great. Okay, right. So.
Okay.
Yes Man. I've got a real positive feeling about Norman Paz. The Yes Man Bandits.
Yes Man Bandits.
Oh, I love it.
I love that.
So
they're an improv troupe.
Okay, they've all got to be Jim Carrey movies with Man in the title. Are we getting too narrow now?
Too narrow? Maybe. Thank you, Norman Paz. And say yes and to your Yes Man Bandit friends. Yes Bandit. I hate myself so much.
Don't. Never hate yourself.
Just, do you want to thank some people?
I'd love to thank some people. I'd like to thank from Cotati, California. I definitely said that wrong, but I like it.
Cotati.
And they should think about naming it that. Nissa Hess.
Nissa Hess.
Nissa Hess is a fantastic name, by the way.
Somebody Cotati.
Yes.
And what about the Batman Forever Bandit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo!
We did it. We got three.
Batman Bandits.
Three more.
Which Batman was he in again?
Batman Forever.
Wasn't he the Puzzler? Who was he?
He was the Riddler.
I was going to say
he was the
Puzzler. Because I remembered him having question marks on him and I was like, yeah, the Puzzler.
The Puzzler.
That's the one that Nick Mason told us the story of.
Yeah, his, handling his buffoonery.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, I cannot handle your buffoonery.
I will not. No, it wasn't I can't handle. It was something
I
very
cannot sanction your
sanction.
Buffoonery.
Oh,
and that came from...
So eloquent.
What's his name? I've forgotten his fucking name.
Oh, Dave.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I found another
Tommy
one.
Tommy Lee Jones. Jack Nicholson. I'm fucking this up big time today.
Have you found another one? Let's do it. Jess, who we got?
We have got from Kingsford in New South Wales, Eric Lee.
Eric Lee and the True Man Show Bandits.
Yes!
Yes!
I can't believe we're doing so
well.
We are
doing this.
Two more. We only need two more.
Thank you so much, Eric Lee.
Thank you, Eric Lee.
The true man of my heart.
Dave, bring us home.
I'd like to thank now from Droitwich in Worcestershire. That's a fantastic place. Droitwich, Worcestershire. I'd like to thank Ern Arrowsmith and the Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, uncredited cameo Bandits.
Well done. You Anchorman had one ready to go.
2. According to Wiki, he had an uncredited cameo in Anchorman 2 as Scott.
Wonder why uncredited.
Scott Riles. There you go. So thank you so much to Ern Arrowsmith, the Anchorman 2 uncredited cameo band.
We got to do it.
And Bob to bring us home. Oh, Dave, you got one.
All right. Take us home with a shout out to from Salford in Greater Manchester. Oh, I wonder if you were ever a member of the Salford Lads Club, which we visited last year. I'd like to thank from Salford, Thomas Rees. Thomas Rees. What are Thomas's Bandits?
And the Cable Guy Bandits.
Close enough.
Close enough. Close enough. I would have accepted Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Man.
I thought about that.
Pecan Pie. Apparently there's a film called Pecan Pie.
Or Sonic the Hedge Man.
Sonic.
He's the bad guy in the new one.
Sonic.
Dr. Robotnik. Sonic. Thank you so much Ern, Eric, Neesam, Norman and David. And one last time, you can go to patreon.com/dogonpod. There's also a Facebook group, which we're posting a few little bits and pieces in there of our travels. Well, I've posted one photo so far, but still.
And
because of Jess, and she was having a lovely sit.
I was having a good sit. You know I love a sit.
We love a sit.
I'm sitting right now, and I'm loving it.
So that really brings us very close to the end of the episode. Dave, is there anything else we need to say?
No, we just need to say pray for us in Koh Samui. It's a tough life here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hope your thoughts are with us.
If you're in Koh Samui, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, first show tomorrow night. Live on the beach, on the sands of Koh Samui.
And we'll put one of we're doing at least two. We're doing two live shows.
Yeah, two live shows here.
So at least one of those will go out so you'll be able to hear. And the other one might be heard by Patreons.
That's right. So if you want to hear that, we said the link many times, but you can check that out. And all the links to all our stuff, including the email, the Facebook, the Instagram, the tweets, the merchandise. We don't talk about that very much. You can go to dogonpod.com.
That's our website.
Yeah,
check it out. And we've got the YouTube series. We're nearly up to date again, aren't we, Matt? With a bunch of live shows going up.
I'm working my way on that, but they're all slowly being released every couple of week at youtube.com/dogonpod.
Oh, who would have thought?
Would you believe?
We did it.
We bloody did it.
Well, that does bring us to the end of the episode. We have to go to the opening night party now. And
sorry, guys.
Engage in some business.
We've got to go to a party.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Business, drinks,
well,
networking, meeting with associates.
That's right, meeting big
moving
wigs.
And grooving,
moving and grooving,
shaking and baking,
schmoozing.
Schmoozing. Yesterday, Matt ate a Snickers.
I ate a Snickers.
Well, in anticipation.
Well, it's so funny. It was one in the little fridge, and I ate it.
When he told us about it, he accidentally said Snickers.
Snickers.
And honestly, it's one of the best moments of my life.
It's definitely a story that, for some reason, keeps coming back up.
Yeah.
I ate a Snickers. You wouldn't think that I would have heard that back at me 3 or 4 times. I'm gonna,
that's going to be my opening line tonight at this party.
Yeah. Hello. Do you like Snickers? You should meet Matt Stewart.
Yes.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode, as we said before. But until then, thank you so much, and I will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.